Well, Father, we do thank you for your word to us, and we thank you for your spirit that helps us to understand it. And we love you, and so we ask this morning that you'd help us to obey it as well. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you ever had your plans ruined? I'd be pretty surprised if I could find just about anyone who hasn't experienced that, particularly in the last 3 years. Maybe you were packed to go on a holiday, but it had to get cancelled. Maybe you had plans to go out for dinner, but then your friend got sick, so it was cancelled. Maybe you planned a birthday party in the park, and then it started pouring with rain. Well, that feeling is what the disciples are feeling as we step back into this conversation in the Gospel of John. They had all these grand plans for following the Messiah, bringing down the Romans, maybe even a place of glory beside Jesus. But now he says he's leaving. And so their plans are cancelled. And as we know, it's been a pretty dramatic night so far. Jesus knew his hour had come, the hour for him to return to the Father. Judas had already left to betray Jesus, so his moment of glory, the crucifixion, was imminent. And then last week we saw Jesus answering all his disciples' questions about his leaving, telling them not to be troubled because he was going to prepare a place for them and that he would actually come back to take them to be there. Well, as we rejoin the farewell discourse this morning, Jesus now turns his attention to speak about that in-between time that's coming up after Jesus is gone, but before he comes back to them. Because the disciples might have grasped the fact that Jesus was going, but that hasn't settled their hearts. Their heads are spinning. What are they meant to do in the interim? How do they follow Jesus if he's not standing there right in front of him? Is it all up to them now? Well, what follows in this section is Jesus now again bringing comfort to his troubled friends. It's Jesus' way of saying, don't worry, guys, it'll be okay, as he explains the help that he will give them when he's gone. It'll be okay for his friends for three reasons. The Spirit will come to help. The Spirit bringing help, the Father setting up home, and the Son giving peace. All of which is going to help them to trust and obey Jesus when he's gone. So let's have a look at those one at a time, starting with his promise of the Spirit to bring help. Have a look at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. You see, Jesus wants his friends to keep on obeying him even when he's gone. And to help them with that, he's going to ask the Father to send the Spirit to them. Now, notice a few things that Jesus tells us here about the Spirit. He says that he's going to be another advocate. That's significant because Jesus is telling them that the Spirit will do the same things for them that Jesus himself had been doing. So Jesus, he'd been their kind of advocate, encouraging them, helping them, supporting them in their faith for 3 years. Now he was going to trade places with the Spirit, but they actually have the same goal. So even though they won't have Jesus with them anymore, they will soon have the Spirit who will help them to love God and obey his commands just as Jesus had done. It's a bit like my family's Christmas a few years ago. We're in the midst of those COVID restrictions, and it was during the time when you could only have 5 visitors in your house at any one time. I've got a big family, and so we had a bit of a kind of rotation system in place. One day, 5 family members would come over, and they would have a Christmas meal and open some presents and catch up. And then those 5 would leave, and another day a different 5 would come and have a Christmas meal and open some presents and catch up. Some would go so that others could come. But they're actually doing the same thing. Well, that's what Jesus is getting at here. He was going to the Father so that the Spirit could come, but they were actually doing the same thing. Now, what's different about the Spirit and different from our COVID Christmas guests is that he will be with them forever. Jesus was with them only a short time, but actually the Spirit would come to stay for good. And yet, this wasn't a promise for everyone. It's a gift that's unique just to Jesus' followers. As he says in verse 17, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You see, this Spirit is someone they will have a deep relationship with. Just as they know Jesus, they know the Spirit. He was not just going to be with them, walking beside them, but the Spirit's actually going to be in them. So that wherever they went, for the rest of their lives, they would have the Spirit living in them. And remember, these words are comforts to Jesus' friends. And you really hear that when he gets to verse 18. He says, I will not leave you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is not going to abandon his beloved friends. He's not going to leave them all on their own without support. Very soon, Jesus will die and then rise again, and his disciples will see Jesus in all his glory, and then as he leaves, the Spirit will come to them. And it all will start to make sense, to fall into place. As verse 20 says, Jesus says, on that day you will realize that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Jesus is absolutely not going to just get up and leave without sending support. So even though they don't understand it all now, they will soon. And the Spirit coming is actually going to be a big part of that. And that's not all. Jesus now tells them that they will get to experience the love from the Father as, point two, the Father sets up home in them. And this is where Jesus gets another question from the floor. It's Judas who asks, but not the one who already left to go and betray Jesus. So, unfortunate name there. Verse 22, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? It's a fair question. Why would this love not be extended out to everyone? Well, that's because not everyone loves Jesus. Which you can tell because not everyone obeys Jesus. As he explains in his answer, verse 23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Now, while it doesn't seem to be a kind of straight answer there to Judas's question, Jesus tells them that there's a particular promise from the Father that will be exclusive to those who love and obey. Now, don't mishear me here. We know from that famous verse in John 3 that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. So the love of the Father is open to all. But what Jesus says here is that those who do believe, who reciprocate that love for God by obeying his commands, to those people, the Father and the Son, they will come to live with them. Did you see it there in verse 23? My Father will love them and come to them, we will come to them and make our home with them. What a promise. That even when Jesus leaves them physically, they never have to doubt the Father's love for them. If they keep on following Jesus as the way, then they're guaranteed the love of the Father because he's going to come and live with them, both he and the Son. Well, and actually the Spirit too, whom Jesus had said earlier, would be in them. Wow. I wonder if you've ever experienced what it's like to have someone come to your house and make it their home and show that they love you. When we first had Talitha, Jess's parents came and stayed at our place every weekend for the first month. And every time they would arrive and make themselves at home, they would help clean up and cook food for us and fix things that were broken and play with the dog and go shopping and wake up in the middle of the night to help. And they even started hiding cash around the house so that when they left, we could go find money. It was amazing. Anyway, it was great. They came and they made home with us. And they did all those things to show that they love us. Well, God himself is going to come and make a home in our hearts. So that when, even when Jesus leaves his disciples, they will know that the Father loves them. And if the disciples still don't understand what Jesus is saying, or they're worried they're going to forget when he's gone, Jesus has got them covered there too. The Spirit will help. Have a look at verse 25. All this I've spoken while I was with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and remind you of everything I've said to you. See, the Father, he's going to send the Spirit to help them remember the words of Jesus, which means now they can be at peace, which is the final leaving gift that Jesus gives to his friends in this section. And it's point three for today, peace from the Son. Have a look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. See, Jesus is leaving them with his peace, which is actually something he's really trying to impress on them through this section. Ever since he announced his hour was here and he was going to be leaving, the disciples, they've been stressed out, frantically trying to get what Jesus is saying. And so Jesus has been explaining to them why he's going. And as we've seen, the help that they will have when he's gone. And with all that in mind, Jesus is offering them his peace. And it's not some kind of flippant farewell greeting or false happiness. The peace that Jesus is giving is the very peace that he himself has. The security that comes with knowing and experiencing what he's promised here. To have the Spirit journeying alongside you as an advocate. To have the Father living in you as a sign of his love. That's what brings peace. And the peace Jesus brings and offers here, it's better than anything our world can offer. Our world might give the illusion of practices and products that bring peace. Maybe crystals or yoga or meditation, scented candles. You can get apps these days that are designed to kind of keep us calm or remove negativity from our lives. But all of that's only ever temporary and is quickly shattered by difficult circumstances. Whereas the peace that Jesus gives, it's different to the world. It is deep and lasting. A security in God that can stand up to the worst situations and circumstances. And so, what did he say to his disciples? He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." With all this promise to the disciples, they don't need to be worried anymore. In fact, they should be glad that Jesus is going. Not just for their sake, but for Jesus's. Have a look at verse 28. He says, "You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." See, Jesus going back to the Father, it's what's best for everyone, including Jesus, who gets to return to his place in heaven beside the Father on the other side of what will be a horrible crucifixion, which, remember, has been the backdrop to this whole conversation. Jesus' hour had come, and so he'd spent this time preparing his disciples for him leaving. And that's how the chapter ends, verse 29. He says, "I told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. But I'll not say much more to you. The prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. It's a kindness that Jesus told them ahead of time what would happen. It ought to bring comfort that Jesus told them these things before he goes. He didn't have to tell them, but he chose to, so that when it all happens, that they will believe in him. And in the Gospel of John, the moment of Jesus' departure grows ever, ever closer, as the end of the chapter here takes us from the upper room into the next steps towards Jesus' betrayal. And yet when Satan strikes and Jesus hangs on the cross, it won't be because he lost. It won't be because he's playing the victim. It will show that Jesus loves the Father and obeys his every command, exemplifying the very thing that he's been teaching them along the way. That when you love someone, you actually obey them. I wonder if you noticed that through the passage. He repeats it three times, almost exactly the same phrase. He says, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Verse 23, again, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Now, there's no doubt that the disciples loved Jesus. They followed him wherever he went. They hung off his every word. But now they can't walk with Jesus day in and day out. Is their relationship over? Are they just sort of done now that Jesus is going away? Well, Jesus comforts them here that their relationship is not over. It's just changing. That now, as they go, instead of having dinner and walking alongside Jesus on the road, they love him through keeping his commands, to believe his words and obey him. But again, notice the context in which he's telling them to obey. It's not a harsh kind of manipulative obey me or else. He doesn't say, keep my commands, but I'm off, good luck. The obedience to Jesus comes in the context of a loving relationship. That if you love Jesus, which they did, then the way to show that now is to obey. But Jesus knows that's difficult, and so he promises not to leave them as orphans to try and work it out on their own. No, no, help was coming. The Spirit to teach and encourage them. The Father to come and make a home with them. The Son to grant them his peace. The whole Trinity, three in one, Father, Son, and Spirit, are actively working and in believers to empower and enable this kind of obedience. And look, we've really scratched the surface of the God we love. You might like to wrestle more with that in your small groups this week. But for now, we can know that we get to enjoy God at work in us just as these disciples did. That if we love Jesus, and I know so many of you do, then we show that love through doing our best to obey him, to say no to ungodliness and yes to holiness in the big things and the little things. But obedience is hard, isn't it? As much as we want to follow Jesus, all Christians know the feeling of struggling with our sinful nature, knowing what we should do and then choosing to do something else. Choosing comfort and desire over what's right, of being self-sufficient or self-focused and giving our leftovers to God rather than our first fruits. Well, as Christians, we're called to a life of loving and obeying Jesus. And so as we stumble our way through that, as we fight to kill off sin in our lives, we can know that God himself is active in helping us to do it. The Spirit gently reminding us of what Jesus has said so that we can resist the devil's lies. The Father reminding us that we are loved and redeemed. So we don't have to be liked here on earth just to have value. And when it all becomes too much and the world's anxiety makes us want to give up, the Son has given us His peace, so we need not be afraid. You see, there is safety and security in knowing God is with us and in us. And living a life of obedience, it's not just all up to us and our sheer determination of will, which really ought to give us the courage to keep on loving Him and obeying Him. To bounce back when we make a mistake, when we realize no one's perfect. Knowing that the Trinity is empowering us to live all the more for Jesus. The Spirit in us helping. The Father loves us and has made a home in us. And the Son giving us His peace, so that our hearts do not need to be troubled. I'll pray that we remember. Let's pray. Well, Father, we love You, and we want to obey You, and so thank You that You have given us Your Spirit to help us with that. That our hearts do not need to be troubled and we do not need to be afraid, because You are in us, You've made a home in us, and we have peace from Your Son. And so help us to remember that this week. Amen.